This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. Today, I'll be speaking on the topic Hope That Does Not Disappoint. This will be part two of it. I've done Tick Vibe before, but today, talking about it the second time. Typically, when we come into Christ, we are given loads of promises. In fact, I've seen people who made a lot of books praying the promises of God to break through. They compiled all the promises that God made in the Bible. They compiled them into a book. They said you should be confessing the promises. You should be reading it every day and then be confessing it. You should document the prophecies and the promises of God. And they are wrong. Let me say that again. They are wrong. You see, the promises of God have been fulfilled in Christ. All the promises of God have been fulfilled in Christ. There is no other promise that is greater than Christ. Oh, I will bless your water. Oh, I will bless your land. You are blessed when you go out. You are blessed when you come in. I will fulfill your days. With long life will I satisfy you. I will give you purpose. You will go before me. And then a voice shall come to you saying, this is the way, walk in it. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be your peace. There shall be no affliction against you. There shall be no enchantment. There shall be no divination. All those promises in the Old Testament, they were promises made to a people who cannot ascend, who are not born again, who did not have a new life, who are not new creatures. They were old creatures that are given the promises as a help. For example, say somebody is paralyzed and the person needs to move about. You make a wheelchair for the person. The person is not satisfied with a wheelchair, but a wheelchair is better than being immobile. So the person then masters how to use a wheelchair. Say somebody cannot hear, then you give the person hearing aid. The person is not satisfied with hearing aid. The person wants to hear naturally, but half bread is better than none. Then the person collects the hearing aid and the person uses it. Say, for example, somebody cannot see. Then you go to the person and you do a brain implant of goggle sight. And then you put this thing in the person's brain and you connect it to his eyes. And then the person begins to see the world from a computer's help. Of course, the person is not satisfied seeing the world that way. But half bread is better than none. All the promises of the Old Testament are simply like wheelchairs, an augmentation of the helpless state of man to give him a future and a hope to look forward to. You see, every promise pointing to the days of Christ. Every promise pointing to the days of Christ. Every promise pointing to the days of Christ. Every promise. But in Christ, all promises are fulfilled. Whenever you look at yourself, if you are born again, if you look at yourself and you say, oh, God has not done this for me, it means you are basically saying, even though I'm a new creature, I am not bearing the fruit of the new creation. You see, because Jesus Christ said that if I abide in you And my words abide in you. He said, you will bear fruits, and your fruits will abide. The fruits are actually the promises that were planted long, seeded into Christ long before you came into Christ. It's like when they told the children of Israel that you go to the promised land, and that the land is a land filled with milk and honey. We even told them that for the first 3 years in the promised land, you will just be eating food you didn't plant, because the land has been seeded with food for you. So after the third year, you then begin to cultivate the land. And that when you cultivate the land, you are going to have increase in fruit, increase in yield, abundance of this, abundance of that. So the word has already been given them. They have a promise regarding the promised land. They had a promise. So imagine that they got to that promised land, and then the promise was fulfilled. They were eating free food. They were doing everything that the Lord had said they would do there, according to the scriptures. All those promises that were made to them by the promised land were real and they were true, and they fulfilled it. And then, but some of them didn't conquer their territory. They didn't conquer the land allocated to them. They can't blame God. It is on them now. So when you read the Bible, they said, oh, this tribe conquered. The tribe of Reuben conquered. Tribe of Simeon conquered. Tribe of Levites, okay, they took their land. Judah, they took from Hebron all the way to parts of Jabesh Gilead. They took it. They talked about Ephraim. They said those ones only conquered half of their land. Manasseh, they decided to start living with the Perizzites. So all those ones are not God's fault. They were given the entire land. It is they, the children of Israel, who did not produce the fruits. They did not secure that which was given unto them. But that doesn't mean God's promises are not true. None of them can pray and say, Father, fulfill your promise to us. Fulfill your promise to us. You said you will give us the whole land, but we don't have the whole land. No, you have the whole land. He told you. In fact, the Bible says some of them, simply because they refuse to cultivate the land, that the wild animals begin to disturb them. So imagine that you are full of the promise of God, and then it gave you wisdom, it gave you men, it gave you strength, it gave you land. But then you built one small hut. You didn't cultivate the whole land. You didn't take dominion over the whole land. And then in that small hut, you are praying, oh Lord, help us to clear our land. Help us to, you then see that prayer cannot be answered. You can't be praying like that. Like, you can't be praying like that. Can't be praying like that. You have been given everything you need for life and godliness. To then go to God again and say, oh, this thing has not been fulfilled. No. The name of Jesus is the fulfillment. The coming of Christ is the fulfillment of the intention of God. The intention of God is awesome. You know that if God didn't give us Jesus, we wouldn't have a global Christian reality that we have now. The Jews will still be hoarding God, Jehovah, from the Gentiles. They will not even allow us to know who Jehovah is. And many of us, if we go, because of the tourism aspect of today, they would have, the way they did it in the Old Testament was that they had the original version of Judaism, which they were practicing. And then when after that come, people like Cornelius, when they come and they are interested in the God of the Jews, they give them a watered-down version. You know, the way it was described was that there was a tabernacle, then there was a holy of holy, then there was the inner court, and then there was the outer court, and then there was the general compound. They make all the Gentiles, those who are not Jews, they make them stay at the general compound. A few of them who are very rich and influential can enter into the outer court, but that is it. You cannot even come into the inner court. You can't come into the temple during a Shabbat service. Not to talk of coming into the Holy of Holy, where they kept the Ark of Covenant. What are you going to do there? They wouldn't even allow you to call the name of Jehovah. You can't call Yahweh. You can't. So there are so many things that they kept a secret from us. And yet, God has been working with them for many years. They kept God to themselves as one would keep a national treasure. When Jesus said to them that he was going to go and they will not see him again, their first fear was that Jesus was going to go and teach the Gentiles the gospel. They didn't know the gospel themselves. They didn't believe in the gospel of Jesus. And yet, even what Jesus had to preach, they didn't want Jesus to teach anybody. They didn't want Jesus to take the knowledge of Jehovah out of the jurisdiction of the Jews. When Apostle Paul became a missionary and he began to teach all over the world, when he came back to Jerusalem, that was the accusation that they leveled against him. They said he had turned the whole world, he had gone to the world to teach them the gospel. They didn't believe the gospel. But the fact that he was a Jew and he was teaching those who are not Jews was enough reason for them to accuse him and imprison him. I'm saying that so that you understand. So that you understand how we would have struggled so much to have access to Jesus. It would have been that was no way. Till now, till this very time, as many Nigerians and all over the world are traveling to Jerusalem every year for tourism, to go and see the Holy Land, there are so many aspects of the Jewish religion and reality that is unknown to us. There's so many aspects of their culture that have been watered down. Many of us end up wearing suits to church now. But the suit was not part of our faith. That was Western culture that has been put into Christianity. Yeah. Because the Jews have a culture, they have a way of dressing. I was watching a video of Mama Bola Are and Tope Alabi in Ibadan. Mama Bola Are came to the program wearing the prayer shawl of the Jewish prayer shawl on her neck. Of course, what she got was a tourist shawl that they usually sell for people. When you go to the UK, they will sell you mementos of tourism. When you go to Israel, it's part of the way they are raising money. There is no power in the shawl or anything. I remember Benny Hinn used to sell the prayer shawl to people and collecting dollars from them before he repented and said he will no longer be doing such things. Those things have no power now. They have no power at all. All those things have been rendered powerless. All these mementos, all these material mediums. Why? Because in Christ, we have everything. Jesus is a leveler. It's the fulfillment of the promises of God in all its fullness. And he made us only one promise. That was Jesus, only one promise. He said, I will go, and then I will give you the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit is one like me. He said, you are limited with me because I'm in one place per time. I cannot be global here. Jesus was very local. He operated only within the Jewish state and territory. In fact, when people from Greece wanted to meet with him, they went to meet Philip. Philip went to meet James. And then the two of them went to meet Jesus to tell him that, oh, some from Greece would like to meet with you. Jesus Christ said to them, the hour has come. The hour has come that the Father will be glorified in the Son. He didn't answer them. He didn't speak to the to the people from Greece, because primarily his jurisdiction was to the lost sheep of Israel, and he stated that clearly in his sermon and in his teaching. So you have the promises of God now. Every one of us here who can call ourselves born again Christians, those of us who are full of the Holy Spirit, in you is fulfilled the whole of the law and promises of God. I like you to say that to yourself. In me has been fulfilled the whole of the laws and the promises of God. That is why you are not lawkeepers. Why? Because for grace and truth to come, the law had to be fulfilled. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. So that elevated you above the limitations of the law. In you now, there is full expression of grace and truth. Grace means the supernatural ability to do good and to carry God. It is not unmerited favor the way they used to preach it. That is limited. That is a negative perspective. As if when I want to do something, I have grace so that I can get it done. No, 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 no. That's not grace. Grace is a life. It is the life of God. That's why Jesus Christ is grace personified. It wasn't because Jesus wanted to do something and then God gave him grace to do it. No, no. Because we do not understand many things, we have given wrong meanings to right things. So I want to get the job, and as by God's grace, I will get. Nah. We can use that in English expression, but grace is greater than that. Grace actually means God in man. You see, what happens to a man that God lives in? He lives a life of grace. They call him Your Grace. When you see me on the side, but I bring God, Your Grace, sir. Why? Because there is grace. Grace is ahead of me. The spirit of grace is at work in me. The same with you. That is grace. Truth that Jesus Christ said, full of grace and truth, is the reality we walk in. We walk with a mindset that does not know human limitation. You know, what I mean by that is simple. Just this last week, we had a project to do that we've been doing. And the project has been continuing at a good rate, at a good pace. In fact, looking at the way God has, it was the right way it should go. God has been consistent, awesome. And we've done everything the way of the Spirit to keep the project moving. Nobody has collected a loan. We are not owing anybody. We are doing what we can, and the Lord has always consistently done what He promised to do to us. So we are getting to a stage of the building project that we cannot do small, small. You know, normally, how many blocks? Okay, this week we are doing 30,000 blocks. Okay, cement, okay, we have to buy. And all those things are small, small stuff. Then we have to pay the workers because they are building. When we wanted to do the decking, it was going to cost 72 million. I was like, hey, decking 72 million. We can't raise that. If we are looking at offering and other things, we have to wait 72 months. I'm not kidding. 72 months to 72 million. Going by the inflow and all this stuff. They were raised in a week. Well, every time we go to that stage where we have to spend so much money, the money will just come. The Lord will just do it. And so this time around, we wanted to do the roofing, and then the naira was collapsing, and people are saying, things are jumping, costs is jumping, ta 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 ta. But I refuse to look at all those. You know. I know the pace of God. You know. I know the reality that I'm working in is different from the reality of the world. So the world was saying, hey, every day on Twitter, they write it USD. Now 1,800. People are writing all sorts of things about it, That is their reality. My reality is different. My reality is that I will not break pace. What I want to get done, I will get it done. That is the reality. Only a few Christians understand that reality. The reality that whatever is happening all around you does not matter. The truth has been given unto you to work with. Some people will collect salary and say, hey, what 30K can do last month, it cannot do this month. The moment you speak like that, you have killed yourself. I mean it. When I was young, I was listening to a pastor who was preaching on TV. I can't remember his name. Maybe I was like 10 years old. But that man said some things that stayed with me all my life, that has stayed with me all my life. The man said, because of the kind of friends you, and it was this Yoruba preacher that would then have English interpreter. Because of the kind of friends you keep. You have a friend, you are eating chicken on Sunday. Every Sunday you would make chicken and rice for your family on a Sunday. And then you have this friend that says to you, hey, how are you coping? That chicken is expensive. Fish is good though. If you buy fish, you cut it, you fry it. In fact, it will be sizable, it will be big. He said, run away from that friend, run away from that friend. If you follow that friend and you begin to do fish, very soon the fish will be going small, 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 small. And then one day, that same friend will tell you, why don't you try egg, boil egg, and then cut it into two. Say, that's how you go into poverty. That's how you go into poverty. When you are doing chicken, no matter the condition, do your chicken, do your, if you stay with that chicken every Sunday, if you don't go below it, you will see that your budget will adjust itself to it. The man gave a very simple illustration of what we call reality. So, somebody wants to build a mansion. That was what he had in his mind to do. And then somebody tells him, cut your coat according to your size. Better build a 3-bedroom. I'm telling you that person has the capacity to build a mansion. That is the reality he had in his heart. But once he looks at the reality outside, when he looks at the wind and the waves and uses it to adjust his expectation, he has changed his reality. So there's a reality in Christ that most believers have not caught up to. A reality that Jesus Christ brought, that he called the truth of the reality of the life of the Son of God, is that all his promises, all the promise of God in him are yes and amen. That scripture telling you that all the promise of God in Christ are yes and amen. They are fulfilled already. You are here, you are saying, oh, I lack this. Oh, I lack that. It is because you have not switched that reality. You've not switched it. Switch that reality. I promise you, switch it. Switch it. If they told me 4 years ago that a day would come, we would have a city and I will not be owing anybody a penny and I'll be sleeping with my two eyes closed and I'll just be serving God with joy, I will argue. I remember talking to the Lord in the year 2020. Then we used to come to Lagos to do services every Sunday at a particular church. And I said to the Lord, is this where you want me to be? And the Lord said to me, no, this is but a small, you are growing. So this is your first step on the rung of the ladder you are going to climb with me. If you see what God called the first step, it's a huge property in Suwelewe where I used to minister every Sunday. And the Lord said to me, no, this is not your final destination. This is just a small step. But at the time, everybody around me, they were saying, wow, glory. See what God has done for you. Just prepare the table before you. La, 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 la. Because that was all I could see at the time. But because I didn't behave as if I have arrived, I said, Lord, is this it? He said, no, this is just the first step. And God has been true. It was just a first step. From that time till now, there had been so much that had been done that glory to God that I didn't just sit down and say, have arrived. So this is important for you to hear this morning. We are in 2024. We're already going to the end of the month of February. There is a reality that God has drawn you into in Christ. That reality is the truth. Let me say it again. There's a reality that you have been drawn into in Christ. Drawn into, brought into in Christ. That is the truth. You have grace. Many of us understand grace. It is that truth we don't understand. Many of us think that truth means speaking to somebody and saying what is or what is not or what is not not or saying it as it is. We think that is the truth. That is not the truth. Of course, everybody here knows that nobody in this world, no man in this world, is allowed to say all of the truth at the time. Anybody who speaks like that is going to live a very short life, or is going to find himself without any friend or without any social context relationship. So we understand that the truth is subjective when it comes to communication. So that is not the truth Jesus brought. The truth Jesus brought is agreeing with God. When you say things that God has said and you live the life that God has declared, you are living the truth. When you live opposite that life, you are living a lie. So if God says, Abraham, look, all your children shall be like the stars of heaven and like the sands of the seashore. That is the truth. Did Abraham have that truth at that time? No. Did it not eventually come to pass? Yes, that is the truth. The truth is what God said. Agree with it. Walk in it. So today's economy, God has told you, I'm going to build you a global company. A global company. And you're looking at it and saying, I don't have a cobble in my account. No, lie. That's a lie. That's a lie right there. That shows you are altering that reality. That's a lie right there. What did God say? He says that in Christ are fulfilled all of the law. In him, all promises are yea and amen. So when you speak, you say, in me, all the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I want nothing. A table has been set before me. In the presence of my enemies, I eat and I drink till my cup run over. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's nothing to fear. God is always with me. I'm full of grace. This is how you speak the truth. This is how you speak the truth. This is how you affirm the promises of God. Because you agree with God, Ezekiel 37. Agree with God and you see that you are walking in the truth. Agree with the world. Say, oh, master, carry on that we perish. Yay! You have agreed with the world. Because the one that agreed with God that no evil shall come near me, the Bible said he was sleeping. He was sleeping in the middle of a storm. He has agreed with God that no evil can come near him. He was sleeping. But then Peter, they were agreeing with the waves. And they were saying, hey, there is a wave. When the one that agreed with God woke up, he said, hush, peace be still. And the wind and the waves obey him. So you see the two realities. One is looking at every other thing around and fretting. The other one is sitting on God's word and is saying, in me is fulfilled all the realities of God. In me is fulfilled all the promises of God. In me, in being somewhere or anymore, all the promises of God are fulfilled. In me, all the promises of God are fulfilled. It is evident for the world to see. In me, all the promises of God are fulfilled. I'm a new creature. I'm a brand new man. I bear upon me the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have inside of me the Holy Ghost. I have in my mouth the authority that has been given unto me by the Lord Jesus. I have on me a crown that I wear, a crown of dominion given to me when Jesus Christ gave me power. I have the word of God ahead of me. Goodness and mercy follows me. I am royalty, I am divinity on the earth. there is no other promise that was made that has not been fulfilled in me. There's no other promise. It is just up to me to begin to produce the fruit of these promises by working and aligning myself with the truth. That is the message of today. Hear me again. It takes time for us to change our way of thinking. Some people say, God, come and fulfill your promises. No, you are born again now. You are supposed to bear the fruit of those promises and bring them to pass. God has promised and he has delivered. It is up to you to take a hold of that which was delivered and produce fruits with it. As you go out today and as you continue your services with us on all our platforms, I declare that you are a blessing. I declare that the promise of God in you are known and shown to the world. I declare that all that see you from today, they see a different you. They see a fulfilled you. They see a Christ-filled you. That your understanding of the things of the Lord is open. You are enlightened in your inner man. Therefore, when you speak, when you think now, when you act now, you act out your new reality in Christ. You do not act out your old reality. You are not a beggar in the kingdom of heaven. You are a son, full of the Holy Spirit, full of grace, full of truth. Therefore, your hands are healing hands. Your eyes are seeing eyes. Your mouth is prophetic. And everything you do is as spoken of by the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your children, our signs and wonders to their generation. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.